Well, according to Zach, it's time to start. I only make it 28 minutes past 10, but I have to do as I'm told. So we have gone live, and welcome to those of you here in the building. Welcome to those who are watching online as well. We're very glad that you're able to be with us here at Gillingham Baptist Church. Lovely opportunity just to be together as the family of God, and to hear from him and receive from him as well. We're very grateful. We have now Linda, Kate and Joe from Emerge Advocacy. They're going to be sharing a little bit later in the service about their work, which is sort of crisis mental health, and they'll be sharing a little bit more about that later on. But we're really glad that you're here and look forward to what you have to share with us. Thank you. We come to meet with God, to hear from him, and we're going to start our time together this morning by singing a great hymn of the church, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder. And we're going to stand and sing this together.
I see. Dan was good enough to play for us this morning, but he's really playing at the URC at 11 o'clock, so he's got to rush down the road. But Dan, thank you very much. Let's pray. Father, we want to proclaim how great you are. We want to sing of your greatness, your glory, your goodness, and your love. We thank you that you have made this world, created, fashioned, and formed this world, that you have made it good and filled it with so many good and lovely and wonderful things. And we bless you and praise you for it. And we thank you that you've broken into this world to redeem this world, to draw it back to yourself, to make it what it should be and was intended to be. And thank you that you've broken into this world in Jesus, that you have come as his light and love, that you have made yourself known in this individual who lived and worked on this earth. And we bless you and praise you for Jesus. Thank you that he comes as the light of the world, the hope of the world. Thank you for his teaching. Thank you for his actions. Thank you for his sacrifice on the cross. And thank you for that glorious resurrection from the dead. Father, we bless you and praise you for Jesus, who is now alive and living with you. And we bless you and praise him, you for him. Father, thank you that we can be here together this morning. Thank you for everything you do for us. Thank you for the help you give to us. Thank you for the people you send to us. Thank you for your provision, your bounty, your guidance, your leading. We thank you, Father, for so many wonderful things. And we recognize that you are the source of every blessing that comes into our lives. Father, receive our thanks. Receive the praise of our hearts this morning, we pray. And may you fill us with your Holy Spirit that we can continue to worship you, not only today, but in this week ahead. Father, bless us now, we ask, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Sue is leading our worship for us this morning, and I'm going to hand over to Sue. Thank you.
So, I've got a quick couple of verses to read from Psalm 150. So I like the Psalms because it tells us that we can worship loudly, so that's good. Praise the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in his mighty heaven, praise him for his mighty works, praise his unequaled greatness. Praise him with a blast of the ram's horn. Well, we've got a clarinet. It's not quite. Praise him with the lyre and the harp. Well, we have a guitar and a bass. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. We've got drum kit, and you guys can dance. Praise him with a clash of cymbals, drum kit. Praise him with loud clanging cymbals, drum kit. Let everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord. Praise the Lord. So now we know what we've got to do. Let's stand up and do it. The first song we haven't done for ages. We used to do it at the bridge quite a lot. So the people that come from the bridge should know it quite well. It's very repetitive. You'll be fine. If you don't know it, just do the chorusy bits. And we're going to do the bit at the beginning twice the first time, but then just once in between the verses. So, oh, heaven is in my heart. Heaven is you got it by the end. That's good. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Was written as a children's song, but I think although the words are really simple, it's a really good song. It's so truthful and very easy to remember. The next song really states who our friend is. There is a voice that must be heard. His name is Jesus. I forgot to say there's some flags around if anybody wants to wave. There's some upstairs and there's some down here and further back. There is a voice that must be heard.
There is a voice that must be heard. There is a song that must be sung. There is a name that must be lifted high. There is a treasure more than gold. There is a king upon the throne. There is one whose praise will fill the skies. His name is Jesus.
Have a seat.
Thank you, Sue. Thank you very much. So, guys, we're looking forward to hearing from you. It was a few years ago, I think, you came and shared with us about the work of Emerge. We're looking forward to a return visit. So, I'll hand over to you. Do you want the video first? We'll have the video first, Penny, if we may.
The Guardian newspaper reports that the rise in the numbers of young people seeking help from the NHS for mental health issues is relentless and unsustainable. Mental health charity Young Minds warns the record high number of children and young people receiving care from the NHS tells us that the crisis in young people's mental health is a wave that is breaking now. In the face of this heartbreaking situation, Emerge Advocacy's mission is to be a voice of hope.
I've been self-harming for a long time and it kind of escalated. The emergency services got quite familiar with me as I felt increasingly hopeless and went to great lengths to end my life. When I first met Emerge in Hospital, they made such a difference. They were just genuinely nice people who cared about me even though I was a stranger and didn't even care about myself. Something about them being there with me made me feel calmer and safe. We chatted and played a random game.
Having the Emerge team in A&E really does make a big difference. You know, we're always so busy and we can't give these patients all the time and reassurance that we wish we could. It's brilliant when Emerge are with one of the patients because we know that that patient will be in a much better place to engage with their assessment and their treatment as a result. They become calmer and less stressed. They've been such an invaluable asset to A&E. They really have. They've helped us enormously. And not to mention the cakes they often bring in, which are lovely.
After I came out of hospital, they carried on checking in on me. We'd go for coffee, a walk, and it was just a space to chat about how things were going. I didn't find it easy to trust people, and it was hard to work with mental health services, but it felt different with Emerge. They helped me stick with it and really get the support I needed from professionals.
It's just so amazing seeing the difference it makes to young people. You walk in and find them anxious, shut down, scared, and after an hour or so of chatting, playing a game or whatever, you start to see them start to come back to life right in front of you. Smiles, eye contact, and a spark of hope.
Emerge held on to hope for me when I couldn't. They have been the ultimate cheerleaders for my life. Without Emerge, I wouldn't be here today.
Let us help you be a voice of hope to young people in your local hospital, in your community. We're ready. We are doing this. Will you join us?
Hello everyone, my name is Linda, and as Stephen rightly said, we were here a few years ago and we shared with you all then, but we're very grateful for the invite to come back. Yes, so Emerge was birthed in the lady you saw talking there, Joy's Heart. One day she was a youth support worker for her church. And she was sat on the floor in a hospital ward with a young person who was struggling. And the Lord just spoke to her and said, there's so many people in churches all around the country on their own without any support. And she just felt like there's an opening here for a charity that she didn't know whether it existed or not. And that was in 2016. And she started off in Surrey, and we are now in, I think, 11 different hospitals. But in your local area here, we're in Medway, we're in Darrenth Valley, we're in Maidstone, we're in Pembury, we've just opened at the William Harvey, and we're also opening at the QEQM. So it's very exciting. Kate's going to tell you a little bit about our hospital support and someone that we met recently in hospital and the difference it made.
Hi, so I'm Kate, and I haven't actually been working for Emerge that long, about 4 or 5 months. And it is just amazing. As the lady shared on the video, you walk into a room with a young person who's feeling hopeless or whatever's going on. The first young person that I got to see, we actually ended up seeing her quite a few times because she had a little bit of a longer stay in hospital. So probably saw her about 3 times, maybe 4. And the difference over that time was, well, I was just buzzing. You know, she wasn't in a good place. And every time myself and Linda went in to see her, I could see a difference each time. And by the last time that we saw her before she was going on to other treatment, she smiled and she laughed and her eyes lit up. And all we did was just talk about the things that interested her. And we did puzzles and things like that. So it's really not a... You don't need to be skilled. You need to have a heart for young people, love Jesus and bring Jesus into the room. And it is that simple and it is that rewarding.
Hi, I'm Jo, and my role in Emerge is to work a little bit more after the young people are discharged from hospital. So I do something called follow-up, which is as a charity when we offer young people about 12 sessions to come and work with us. So they're discharged from hospital and then we meet them. Usually it's every week or every fortnight, and we meet them somewhere in the community, go for coffee, and it's a chance for them to just build up a positive relationship with us, for them to have a space to be safe, to talk, and for us to just listen. And, you know, like Kate was saying, you know, it's really simple. We're just a presence that we're there for them. We just allow them a space and time, and just hopefully give them some hope. So that's my role. And we usually have a caseload of, you know, several young people that we work with, that we do that with. And I want to share just a story about a young boy I worked with. He was about sort of, I think he was about 19. When I first started working with him, he was in a really tricky situation. He had lots going on and I think felt that real sense of just hopelessness. And as we started to work together, at first he didn't really want to talk much. And I would just sort of sit there and think, oh, please say something. But I'd get my Uno cards out and we'd just play Uno. And as time went on, the more I did that, the more he opened up, the more he wanted to talk. And then I started to realise that actually being in a coffee shop maybe wasn't the best environment. Like he would talk more if we went for a walk. So we started to take our coffee to go. We'd walk around and he'd started talking more and more about what was going on in his life and felt like he could be open. And worked with him for quite a while and just saw this massive change in his life. And then when it came to the end of those 12 weeks, I remember he... you know, he thanked me and he said, you know, thanks so much. I've really enjoyed just being able to talk and having someone that would just come and listen. And as I said goodbye, I looked around and he skipped. This is a 19-year-old teenage boy, skipped off to his car. And it was just a really sweet moment of just seeing the joy come back, you know, and the hope come back. So, yeah, just a little story, but just how rewarding it is and how simple it is of just coming alongside someone and just giving them hope.
So we take Jesus into the hospital with us. It's nothing that we do. We're just obedient. We turn up and we carry him with us. A lot of the feedback we've received says things like, I don't know why I even talk to them. I don't normally talk to people. Or I just felt calm the second they came in and felt like I could talk to them. So really, this is just a moment to glorify Jesus and the amount that he loves these precious young children. And we just would like to offer out the opportunity, if you feel the Lord leading you, if you wanted to come and volunteer with us, if you wanted to pray for us, if you wanted to donate in any way, we are going to be downstairs in the lighthouse room afterwards. We've got a lot of leaflets there. We've also got some helpful leaflets about charities, crisis charities in this area, if ever you wanted to reach out to someone if you were struggling. So we would love to see you downstairs afterwards. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, guys, and we do appreciate everything you do, so thank you very much. And I'll remind you at the end, but again, if there are people who'd like to just be able to help in any way with that, then that might be something for you. Sue, we have a song.
Let's stand if we're able.
Who can mend hearts that are broken? Who can bring comfort to all those who mourn? Who can bring light in the darkest times? Who can bring peace to the fearful mind? We have the answer, treasure to share.
Take a seat.
Now, it seems that March is a very popular month for birthdays. And if I am correct, Olafunke, is it your birthday today? It is. And she looks horrified. But it wouldn't be right if we missed it. So perhaps we could sing Happy Birthday to Olafunke. Is that all right? 3, 2...
birthday to you. Happy birthday, Olafunke. Happy birthday to you.
And if anybody else has a birthday today, I apologise that we didn't remember it. But there we are. And we have more surprises for next Sunday as well. We're going to bring an offering now for the work of the church here. I know many of you give directly through the bank and in other ways as well, but it's part of our practice. So if you're able, we'll bring an offering now to the Lord. Thank you very much. Thank you. Pray, shall we? Father, thank you that you are a generous God, that you lavish your love upon us, you pour good things into our lives. Thank you that we've received so much from your good and gracious hand. With full and glad hearts, we give back to you. Accept these gifts that we give to you now. May you take them, use them, bless and multiply them, we pray. And we pray too for our children, our young people, as they go to their own different groups now. May you inspire them in what they are learning. Help those who are guiding them this morning, and just help them to find words that will convey your love and your truth. Father, we ask your blessing upon our youngsters and in the rest of our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. So children are going to go to their different classes. The youngest ones, which are years, reception years one and years two, with Julia downstairs in the lighthouse. And then the juniors, as it were, upstairs with Cynthia in the upper room. Ruth and Leon have the younger teenagers and the older teenagers downstairs in the lighthouse. And if anybody wants to avail themselves of the conversation area, then there's space out there as well, and you'll still be able to see the service too. Let's pray, shall we? Father, thank you for the power of prayer, and thank you for the privilege of prayer. Thank you for the opportunity of just being able to share our concerns and our hopes and desires and lay them before you this Sunday morning. We pray into our world of conflict, of strife, and pray once again for your good and perfect purposes to be worked through. We pray for justice and righteousness to prevail in our world. We pray for peace, but we pray for peace with justice. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd be at work to that end and that purpose in these days. In all the troubled spots of this world of ours, Lord, may you be present and may be at work to bring about that which is good and that which is right. Father, we pray for our own communities around us here. We want to pray this morning your blessing upon Ruth and her work with CAP. Thank you so much for all that she does, and we pray that you'd grant her the health and the strength that she needs, not only for today but this coming week and these coming weeks as well. Help her, Father, we ask and pray, to be able to do all that she wants to be able to do, and may you just physically help her in all the challenges that seem to face her each and every day. We thank you for Emerge, and we bless you for the work that they do. May you continue to help them to serve you and serve those who are in need in the various hospitals that they serve in this part of the country. And we just pray, Father, that you'd help them to find the number of volunteers that are needed, and pray, Lord, that you'd give them the resources to carry on this valuable work as well. And Father, we pray for those within our church family who need your help at this time. We think of Liz Clark and pray, Lord, for Liz, that you would just work your healing purposes in her life. Strengthen her for this coming week, Lord, with the radiotherapy. And we pray, Lord, that you just protect her, keep her safe, and that you'd just be very close to her. Father, please minister your healing into her life at this time. And we pray your protection upon her in Jesus' name. We think of Andy and Cheryl's son-in-law, Jamie, in hospital in Lancashire with chemotherapy. And Father, we pray for Jamie that he would find healing in his body, that the leukemia would be addressed. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that there can be some good news coming back, reported back, fed back from his time there in Lancashire. Father, please be with Jamie, and we ask that you'd really help him and the whole family at this very anxious time. We think of Chris and Vanda, both of whom have really serious health needs at the moment, and we pray that you'd strengthen them, sustain them, help them through these very difficult times. And we pray, Lord, that you again would just bring healing into their situation. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would minister to each of them in their different needs, and may there be some progress, good news, some encouragements for them, because they desperately need encouragement at this time. For Linda Gilbert, we commend Linda to you and pray your continued work of healing in her life. And we pray this morning too for Denise Smith's husband, Des, who's in hospital and with prospective sepsis. We just pray for Des that you'd really help him, that you'd bring healing into his life, that you'd help him in the confusion of where he is. And we pray for Denise too, with the anxiety of all of this. May you keep her healthy and well, and lift burdens from her shoulders, we ask and pray. Father, there are those we know who've lost loved ones in recent times, and we pray your comfort into their lives, and that you'd just help them to know your presence and your love. There are those who are burdened with anxieties, with cares and worries, and we pray, Lord, that you'd lift some of those cares from their shoulders and minister to them and provide for them in this particularly anxious time. We pray for Abby and Kelvin after their wedding yesterday. May you indeed bless them. May you smile upon them. And may good things happen to Abby, to Kelvin, to Sarah. Yes, Lord, may you really bless that new family there, we pray, with your favour and your love. And we want to pray for Rob and Peggy as they get ready for their wedding in a few weeks' time. And pray, Lord, that you'd help them with all the practicalities they have to work through, all the details. And may you just prepare them for that very special day in April. Father, we lift all these prayers, all these people, all these situations to you. We're confident that you hear us. We know that you love us. And Father, we just want to lift all these, our friends, to you, all these situations. Father, be present. May you be at work, we ask. And may we see you in all these situations. Father, hear our prayers as we lift them before you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Our Bible reading this morning, quite a long one. It's from Mark chapter 5, verses 1 to 20, and Eni is going to read that for us. Eni, thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Our reading is taken from the book of Mark chapter 5, and is 1 through 20. Jesus restores a demon-possessed man. They went across the lake to the region of Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain, for he had often been chained hand and foot. But he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me." For Jesus has said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission. And impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
I think I'll suggest that we stand before Stephen brings you the word of God. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on him. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds.
the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. Then He shall come. Trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless I stand before the throne. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love.
Sit down.
Thank you very much, Sue, and thank you, Ennie, for bringing the Bible reading for us. Last time the Emerge guys came, and Linda, you were part of that, I think, weren't you? I was very impressed with that work, and when you said you wanted to come again, I thought, yes, we must have them. Can't emphasize enough how valuable this sort of work is. Working with people with mental ill health is a huge privilege. It's a huge responsibility, but it's such an urgent and pressing need. There are so many in our community who have mental health issues. And I just think to be able to come alongside them and help them as you're doing is absolutely wonderful. It's the stuff of Jesus, and we commend it you for the work that you're doing. And hopefully it may be a ministry that others want to get involved in as well. So thank you. Thank you very much. Back in my first church in Gloucester, we had a number of people within our community with mental health issues. Probably the lady I had most to deal with, I think I've mentioned her before, was Gina. Gina was a very troubled lady. She had a very strong Christian faith. She had a very deep Bible knowledge. Sometimes that Bible knowledge and Christian faith got all mixed up with a mental ill health, and the two got tangled. If I put it like that, quite often she was in the psychiatric hospital, Coney Hill Psychiatric Hospital in Gloucester. It was a old Victorian building, and I used to have to go and visit her there. But more often than not, she was at home on the Matson estate. She lived in a first floor flat, I remember vividly going to visit her one day, and we were talking, and she was anxious about various things, and she said to me, she said, I'm so lonely. I'm so lonely. Her husband, he was in a nursing home. Children had been taken away into care, and she said, I'm just so lonely. Ministers can be very pious and very holy. And I gave a very pious and holy answer. And I said, but Gina, you're never alone because God is with you. And she looked at me and she said, but I want God with flesh on. And I understood perfectly what she meant. I want God with flesh on. I want somebody there alongside me. I want somebody to talk to. I want somebody to turn to. I want somebody there who I can share things with. I want God with flesh on. You guys are God with flesh on. Thank you for what you do. And we bless you and thank you for it. The story we had from Mark chapter 5 is the well-known account of the Gerasene or Gadarene. It did various different ways of that occurs in the manuscripts. The Gerasene or the Gadarene demoniac. Mark's account is much fuller than the one in Matthew's gospel. It's far more detailed. To be honest, it's far more interesting than Matthew's gospel. Curiously, Matthew's gospel is not only shorter, but Matthew has two men emerging from the tombs, whereas in Mark and in Luke, it is only one man who emerges in this particular way. Clearly, he was a very disturbed individual. Today, if we were looking at his symptoms, if we were looking at his bizarre behaviour, we would say that he had acute mental illness, that he was his mental state had broken down, because clearly it had. He was a danger to himself. He was a danger to others. He couldn't be in society because of the acute nature of his mental illness. In days before there were medication or treatments or anything like that, this man was clearly in a terrible situation. The good news in this account, the good news is that he meets Jesus, and we have this absolutely wonderful description of what happens as a result of this encounter with Jesus. We see a man whose life was so wild, so erratic, so violent, it would have to be said. And yet here is a man whose life is transformed, who is made whole. And I'm going to use that phrase a lot this morning. His life was made whole. And in verse 15, there is this most wonderful description. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed sitting there, dressed, and in his right mind. Sitting there, dressed, and in his right mind. It's a wonderful description. And I remember a little book by Baptist minister, old Baptist minister called Edwin Robertson, and he looks at this story and he calls it Sanity at the Feet of Jesus. Sanity at the feet of Jesus. Here is this man who was so wild, uncontrollable, whose mental health had completely collapsed. And here he is, whole, seated at the feet of Jesus. But this will come as no surprise to us, because this is what Jesus did. This was what Jesus did over and over and over again throughout his ministry. He made people whole. He made people complete in body, mind, and spirit. This was one of the key features of Jesus' ministry. When I was emailing backwards and forwards with Sue about my theme this morning, in my head I was going to go for a different reading, which is probably why you were surprised when it was Mark 5. I was going to try and pick some of those readings, those healing miracles that Jesus does that we don't normally pick on. Originally I was going to go with this verse, this passage in Mark 7, 31 to 35, where Jesus heals a man who was deaf and had got a severe speech impediment. And it's an unusual story. It doesn't occur in any of the other Gospels, only in Mark 7, 31 to 35. And Jesus does some strange things. Jesus puts his finger in the man's ears, spits and touches his tongue. And then he looks up to heaven and says, I can never pronounce this, apatha, which is Aramaic, one of those rare Aramaic words in the Gospels, be opened, and the man's ears are opened, and he was able to speak plainly. And at the end of that passage it says, he has done all things well. Is that nice? He has done all things well. Another incident in Luke's Gospel this time, chapter 13 from verse 10. Woman bent over for 18 years. We'd probably say she had osteoporosis. She couldn't straighten up. And Jesus says to her, woman, you are free from your infirmity. And he put his hands on her and she straightened up. And we could go on and on and on with incidents like that, so many of them, and you're familiar with a lot of them. But what struck me this week, as I was reading so many of these different passages, what struck me was how many times Jesus ministered to young people. We sort of assume that older people are featured a lot, but Jesus ministers a lot to young people. In the later part of Mark chapter 5, after our incident here with a Gadarene demoniac, we have the story of Jairus' daughter. And Jesus comes to Jairus, is the temple, the synagogue leader, or one of the synagogue leaders. She's 12 years old, and Jesus comes and ministers to her and brings healing into this 12-year-old's life. In Luke 7, we have the widow of Nain's son. Young man, I say to you, get up, young man. Mark chapter 9, a man comes and pleads for his son, a boy, we're told. His symptoms seem very similar to what we would describe as epilepsy. He would throw himself often onto the fire. In Mark chapter 10, we've got the famous, let the little children come to me, do not try to hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. And in a few weeks' time, we'll come to Palm Sunday, and when we come to Palm Sunday, we're familiar with the Hosannas, but actually, as you read that, it's the children that shout out, Hosanna to the Son of David. My point in all of this is that Jesus cared for people. And Jesus cared for young people as well. Jesus cares for the whole person, for that entire individual. He's concerned about every aspect of somebody's life. And this thing, and you read it over and over again here, this thing when Jesus came and touched people, this where Jesus comes and lay his hands on it, this isn't symbolic. This isn't perfunctory. This isn't a form of magic or anything like that. It's an expression of his care. It's an expression of his concern. It's an expression of his commitment to that person. Because Jesus is interested in that person. Jesus is concerned about that person. Jesus is carrying with him, as it were, a burden for that person. And that symbol of touch is a way of conveying his commitment to that individual. This is what Jesus does. He gives of himself. He gives of himself. Jesus is God with flesh on. He invests his time with people. He invests his life in people. Not just bothered about their souls, but about their lives as well, the whole person. And we need to remember that. We've been thinking about being a missionary people. We've been thinking about telling people about Jesus, about sharing the good news with people. We've been thinking about how we can introduce other people to Jesus. And that's something so important that we need to do. But notice Jesus' method. His method is an interest in the whole person. He's interested in what happens to the individual. He's not just concerned about one aspect of that person's life, but what happens to the entirety of that person's life. He wants them to become whole. Whole in body, mind, and spirit. Jesus loves people as people. He cares for people as people. And it's that genuine and authentic love that makes the difference. I suspect that all of us have in our lives come across two forms of Christianity. There is Christianity that we would consider to be good Christianity, and there's Christianity we would call, shall we say, not so good. Good versions and not so good versions of it. And you'll all have encountered that, and you know exactly the sorts of thing that ring true with you. And what I'm trying to advocate this morning is that good, healthy Christianity, that authentic Christianity that is true to the ministry and the mission and the life of Jesus. And it's rooted in this care and concern for individuals, for human beings. It wants the best for the whole person. And this morning, what I'm trying to encourage you to think about is how we can, as Christians, express that concern and love for the whole person. Sometimes it's a slow process. Sometimes it's a painstaking process. Sometimes our journey with somebody is not a quick fix. It would be so nice, wouldn't it, if we had a magic wand. The number of times I have asked God for a magic wand. Whatever. I would love to have a magic wand just to make something better, just to make someone better. But do you know what? I haven't got one. And you haven't got one either. There isn't a quick fix solution. But what we have got is our love and our hearts and our lives. And what we can do is we can invest those lives in the concern and the cause and the lives of other people. And we can journey with them. We can be God with flesh on. We can sit there with them in those difficult times when they are absolutely besides themselves. And we can just sit there and absorb it. And sometimes, if we're fortunate, we might have the opportunity of saying something helpful. But even if we haven't, it's just being there for them. And it's slow work very often. It's painstaking work very often. But it's the stuff of Jesus. It's the stuff of Jesus as he comes alongside people and finds out about them and loves them and journeys with them. Someone said to me the other day, why are there so many people with poor mental health? And we could change that question, why are there so many young people with poor mental health? And the answer is, I don't know. And nobody knows. But we're all aware that poor mental health in young people is a big thing these days. And I just wish that people understood it better. I just wish there was a way for those who work in psychiatry to understand how so many people get afflicted in these ways. It would be so good if we understood the causes, the root causes of poor mental health. But what we do need to do is we need to pray. And we need to pray for the resources to be made available. We need to pray for the mental health services, which are so much the Cinderella, the poor relation of the health service. We need to pray that more funding is channeled into this important work, preventative work rather than crisis work. We need to pray that more money is released into these important areas. And we need to pray that there will be individuals who rise up and who say, I want to journey with people and help them in their point of need. Pray. Pray for these things. But also recognize, is there somebody you can journey with? Is there somebody you can come alongside? Is there somebody you can sit with in their suffering, in their difficulties? Is there someone whose hand you can hold in all that they're going through in their lives? Let's pray for more people to find wholeness in life. Let's pray for more people to find sanity at the feet of Jesus. And let's see if we can be there for somebody when they need us. If we can be God with flesh on for those we come across who are going through difficult times. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for him modeling that kind of love and care that we recognize is rooted in you. And is absolutely the right way to be and the right way to live. Thank you for Jesus modeling that, and may we model it in ourselves as well. May we model that in the way that we live and the way that we care. Give us the eyes to see those who are in need. Give us the heart to reach out and sit alongside them. And give us the commitment to invest in people's lives as you have committed yourself and invested yourselves in us. Father, help us, we ask and pray, to be your people, to do the stuff of Jesus. Help us to be those people you want us to be, to make a difference in this world. Fill us with your love and fill us with your Holy Spirit, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. We are going to sing our final song, God of Justice, Saviour to All. And we'll stand and sing together.
God of justice, Savior to all, came to
For being here this Sunday morning. Thank you for watching online as well. We marked a birthday earlier on. What I forgot to mark was a special wedding anniversary. And Mr. Alan Newnham and Mrs. Anne Newnham, they are apart at the moment, but they have been together for 50 years. So we can... And to celebrate that, you're all invited downstairs for tea and coffee. There is prayer ministry for anyone who would value that, and the guys will be very happy to pray with you. Downstairs, there is a table with things from Emerge Advocacy there. Please have a word with the ladies if this is something you're interested in, and have a look at the table downstairs as well, and access some of the things there. In terms of what we've got on this week, Wednesday evening there is Bible study, 7:30 downstairs in the Lighthouse. Thursday morning, 10 o'clock in the Lighthouse, there is Good News at 10, Bible study. You'll be very welcome to come along to that if you are free for just over an hour. On Thursday, we've got a prayer meeting downstairs, that's at 7 o'clock. Again in the Lighthouse, again, if you're able to come along to that, it'll be really good. We've usually had these on Fridays before, but we're having it on Thursday, so anybody who can come on Thursday night, just praying into the health of church. We have a church members meeting next, not on Tuesday but Tuesday week, that is the 25th of March. And I'll be sharing more about that next Sunday, one of the things that we're going to be looking at. But that's Tuesday, the 25th of March. It will be downstairs, but it will be on Zoom as well. John Redding is standing at the back of church there. He is also going to be 80 very soon. There is a party up at the village, not the village hall, St Mark's Hall. And if you want to come along, it's on Saturday the 29th. Of March. Pop your name on the list in the conversation area. I am told that I have to plug our social media platforms, so I am plugging our social media platforms. I think that means Facebook and Instagram. Is that right? Yes, thank you. You will understand that better than I. So I will say it once more, I am plugging and encouraging you to look at our social media platforms. I'm not going to say it anymore, that's enough. Let's pray. Father, bless us as we go from here. Fill us with your love, joy and peace. Lift burdens from our shoulders. Help us to conquer those things that we're dreading this week. And may you just help us to breeze through all those problems that seem to be stacking up in our lives. Father, may you burst through with your love and with your grace, we ask and pray. Go with us now. May your blessing fall upon us and upon all those who we love and care for. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all. God bless.